Tonight on TMSPM, Netflix World Problems.
Some Letterman info.
Help, help, it's raining spiders.
Dumping poop on a party.
The Wire creator has new things to do.
Dan, the tabletop man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS PM, the morning stream PM edition. Normally, it's the fifth episode of the week. It's fourth this week. Yeah, this morning was dumb. Stuff came up. I won't bore you with details, but here we are now doing it. Okay?
Yes.
And to make people happy, Brian, I'm going to put it up as soon as we're done. I'm not going to wait a day like I usually do. Okay?
That's cool.
Yeah.
That way people don't think we're pod fading.
Yeah. Nobody wants to pod fade.
Yes. Should we offer, we're going to offer another reminder. I say we do it all throughout the show.
Okay.
There will not be a show Monday for Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah. No Memorial Day show. We're taking it off for the holiday. My plan was that would be the only day we'd take off in the next couple of weeks, but 'twas not to be so, because this morning got weird. But yeah, Monday, we're going to go memorialize things, right?
Right, right.
What do you do on Memorial Day? How do you celebrate?
I've got things to remember, so I memorialize them.
That's
I memorialate them on Monday.
I'm going to sleep in, which I don't ever do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to then go to my father's graveside. We're going to go do a little thing there with the family. And then we're going to a barbecue of some sort.
Nice.
And then we'll just see from there. The next day I have an MRI, so maybe I'll do a little MRI prep that day. I don't know what that means.
Oh, geez. Yeah. How do you prepare for MRI? Do you go find a nice storm drain and slowly inch yourself back into it while you go, quack, 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 quack?
Kind of, dude. Like the lady asked me when we were scheduling the appointment, I said, are they like they were like 15 years ago when I had one of these for something totally different? She says, oh, yeah, they're the same. They're a very small space. It's very loud. And I said, okay, that sounds fine. She says, do you get claustrophobic at all? And I said, well, I'm not terribly claustrophobic.
Yes, violently.
Yeah, I should have said that. I said, yeah, I don't like closed spaces. She goes, okay, putting you down for the, it was like she just wanted to hear any indication.
Right, exactly.
That I was
uncomfortable. You're the exit row. And she just wants to make sure that you're fine with lifting that door when they land in the middle of Kansas.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So she says they're going to load me up with some intravenous something or other. It'll stone me out nice and good while I'm in there.
Nice.
And I thought, well, I probably don't have to, but okay, fine. Let's do it. That's fine. So that's happening Tuesday, and I figure Monday's a good day to think about that, I guess, I suppose.
Yeah, give it some thought. Doesn't it seem weird, though, that there wouldn't be advances in MRI technology to make, you know, at least make that tube quieter or make it,
bigger?
Somehow more pleasant?
How about
it just seems like they've just given up
on
the MRI.
How about
machine.
Bigger? How about larger? How about that?
Sure, sure.
You know, like they have one for the elephants at the zoo. We've talked about this before. They have like giant...
They have a big old MRI.
Yeah, they have animal ones. And those things are huge. And they fit an entire like hippo in there looking for hippo tumors. We call them hippoomers. And those are fine.
Much
so,
better than the tumpos.
Right. And they've had people go down to the zoo. This is true. They've had patients who are so big, like giant obese patients who are like 1,200-pound dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They've had to cart a dude like that down to the zoo and use the zoo one. Because he won't fit in a traditional one. So maybe I should have told her. And she asked me, she goes, how much do you weigh? I said, 210. She goes, oh, how tall are you? 6'3.5". Oh, good. Okay. We're fine. I'm like, well, what? What do you thought I was going to be 3'2" at 210? Like, what'd you think I was going to be?
I'm shaped like a hockey puck. How's that going to work for your MRI?
Exactly. So anyway, it's help, help. It's happening. That'll be Tuesday. But anyway, I hope everyone has a nice long weekend and a happy one. We have some t-shirt winners today, some people who won random t-shirts, thankfully, because a bunch of new people signed up on the Patreon, and as more people do, more people win shirts. We have a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 winners, and I'm going to announce them now. Free t-shirts go to Christina Brombach or Brombach.
This is, This is like we're sitting there with the t-shirt cannon at the sporting event, and we're firing it into the crowd directly at these seven people.
Yeah, and hopefully Homer doesn't duck, and, and Ned's
Maude
wife.
Flanders takes one in the...
Yeah, right in the face.
Takes on the forehead, right.
Nathan Shea is our second winner.
There you go.
Christian Dawson, Rich Markham.
All right, I won't do it for all of them.
Darn it. Rich Markham, January Ford... Which is, I have a car for every month, so that's, I've heard that's how you should do it.
Yeah.
Teresa Ozoa, we know her. It's Rogue Tess there.
Rogue Tess, yeah.
And finally, Ebony Williams. Ebony Williams, everybody. Center stage, Ebony Williams. Put your hands together. That's terrible. That's
really, it's probably not the best way to tell somebody they just want a t-shirt.
The name just brought... Well, it did what it did. Congratulations to all seven of you, and Monday we'll have more. Tell your friends, hashtag TMS Patron on Twitter. Let people know, encourage people who listen to the show to take part and, do it.
There's 4 days, too. So there's 4 days between now and our next show. We got to mention, by the way, that there won't be a show on Monday because of Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So no show Monday.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, I heard that Monday's a holiday and we're not doing a show.
You know, we're still going to get tweets. Is there a show today? What's going on? Well, I'm in the chat room right now. It's really quiet.
What the hell's going on?
So you got 4 days to sign up if you're not already signed up.
Yeah.
Throw a buck in there, and the more people that sign up for Patreon in the next 4 days for the patreon.com/TMS, the more shirts we give away.
And imagine like a dollar is all. It's like imagine that as a ticket to enter something. It's so dirt cheap. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Even if you don't win.
That's a dollar a month. That's not a dollar a week. That's not a dollar an episode. That's not a dollar every time we pick our nose. Oh, that would be some money.
Oh,
no, that's a dollar a month.
Yeah, let's not shower them with riches with the nose picking idea. You're right. And it's important to note that a lot of patrons do a sort of per show thing. Nothing wrong with those. But we opted to say, look, we've got five of these a week. Well, four when we started. Five because you guys have already been so generous. And we did that. And when this whole Patreon thing came up, we went, well, we don't want to, it's crazy to charge per episode. We'll charge you for the whole month. And now we regretfully run contests like this. No, it's a joke. We are happy to do what we did.
Of course.
And thank you all for participating, of course. Okay, I got a couple of first world problems to ask you about. They all deal with Netflix, okay?
Okay.
We live in a time of extreme convenience. Netflix, I think, is a bastion of this convenience. And I'm going to ask you a question. If you think any of these are injustices when facing Netflix as the thing you love. Number one, whenever the red pill win of death appears.
The red what of death?
The red, they call it the red pinwheel of death.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't stand that. It's usually preceded by the word buffering, which I'm going to guess is also on this list.
Well, you're going to love this one. This next one is maybe my most hated. It's the judgmental message that pops up in the middle of your binge-a-thon that says... Are you still watching Friday Night Lights?
Still there?
You still there? You still doing it? I get why they do it, because if somebody walks away, it's not like old TV. Just, you got to cut the bandwidth out. But it still annoys the hell out of me. Okay, here's one. Just how quickly the next episode starts and not being able to take any kind of break.
Right.
They get you
You just watch that. It's like that thing that's spinning around ready to play the next episode. It's like, oh, no. Wait, well, where's the remote?
Yep. Yep, exactly right. How about this one? Number four, that Netflix gives you so many options to choose from, you actually can't pick one. I've had this problem.
Yeah.
Where you get down to a list and go, okay, and you'll skip through a billion of these, and by the time you're done, you're like, oh, let's just go play cards or something.
It's so true.
Yeah, too much choice. Sometimes that's bad. All right, when there are no more episodes left on your favorite show and you want to throw things... I guess that's a thing.
I.e. Daredevil and Orange is the New Black and Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, even worse are ones where there's another season, but they just haven't gotten it on Netflix yet. That's the worst. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, did you see that Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt Max mashup?
Yeah, it was really good. Shockingly appropriate.
Really appropriate, yeah.
Yeah. I'd forgotten that it was those Songify the News guys.
The auto-tune dudes, yeah.
That's really cool that they got
it's
that gig.
Great.
Yeah.
And you hear that, and you know what? That's one of the few opening themes I don't fast forward through. I don't fast forward through Game of Thrones, and I don't fast forward through Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, we never fast forward Game of Thrones either. There are a few opening things we want. Bob's Burgers, we do the whole opening.
Of course,
We want to read
Simpsons,
this, I think. Simpsons,
for the same reason.
Futurama, I always dig, I just love the song.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one we talked. We had this big conversation in the house about what shows we don't skip intros for. Yeah. Oh, we skip Daredevils now because it's just long.
Oh, really? You think?
I like it. It's just long. Like
that music is so sinister. It sounds like a weird remix of Who's That Girl by Eurythmics.
Oh, yeah. It kind of does now that you say it. Yeah. But it's just so long. All that melting red wax and stuff. It's just like so long.
It makes
so.
Me want to 3D print stuff. Like, ooh, I want to 3D print that water tower. And it would look like that. Ooh, I want to 3D print.
This is the problem when you have a 3D printer. You want to 3D print everything.
You totally
it's
do.
The ultimate
right
version
now,
of
it's
the...
It's a UPS truck on its way back to Maryland to get a...
What?
A motherboard fix.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was on another trip back for fixes.
Yeah, I just went back today. Been having problems with the fan. The fan wasn't getting any power, and I had replacement fans. Stuck those in there.
Yeah.
Those didn't spin up.
Oh.
So I got a little multimeter. And or a multimeter, and I stuck the pins on the where the power should be going out to the fan, and nothing's happening.
Well,
so,
that sucks.
Yeah.
I feel bad about that.
That's
but hey,
all right. You know, it'll come back next week. And
here's something that may make you feel better. I've yet hear about a 3D printer of any kind, MakerBots, all their models, or even ones people make themselves. I've yet to hear about a 3D printer that isn't always on the fritz.
Yes, exactly. That's the very nature of these. I mean, it is. We're in the wild west of 3D printers right now.
Yeah.
It is not, there's not a, there's not a Microsoft 3D printer yet or an Apple 3D
printer.
We're in
I'll tell you what we're in. We're in the phase of the dot matrix printers, the 9-pin and 24-pin printers of the old days, of the late 80s, early 90s. That's
we're in the end of 04, beginning of 05 podcasting days.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
Before,
I was going to say even more so like, that's actually a pretty good comparison. But like typewriters, we're in typewriter phase.
Right.
This is all about to get way easier. You're not going to have to use whiteout or fix ribbons or have jammed carriage returns or keys falling off. Like one day it's going to be as easy as everything else we do. So
exactly.
Just sit tight. You'll be fine, everyone.
So anyway, so
so there you go.
We were talking about, was that all the
That's
the
all of them.
Problems?
Yeah, the only ones that matters. Netflix problems, everybody. Catch it. Tell us what happened to Tristan. Why are we congratulating him? I'm so excited.
Well, like your daughter, he's graduating. Tomorrow is his big day. Tomorrow morning, we trump our way up to the Boulder CU campus, and we're going to watch him walk across a stage and grab a diploma from some old man.
Did we ever determine why they have to hold these at colleges? Did we ever figure that out? Is it
well,
just
I think
look
in this
cool?
case they just don't have the space at the high school.
Oh, all right.
Because they're able to allow us to have 21.3 people for every student, 21.3 guests.
Weird. Who's the 0.3? Who's the poor body part that had to show up to that?
Right, exactly. It's math issues, math problems.
That's really weird that they would have an increment.
That's the way they phrased it. So we've got enough room there that we figured it out. Everyone can have 21.3 people per student.
That's really odd to me. But that's great. Congratulations to him. Carter's is next week, I want to say, not this coming week, but the week
that's
after
right,
that
yeah.
or something. And very exciting. We're going to where the Jazz play, though, not like a college, but where the Jazz play basketball.
Sports arena, nice.
Sure. So that's big. There's like 10 schools or something doing it in a row. Theirs is at 10, but we have to get there at 7 for some reason.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah,
really?
It's a bunch of BS.
Oh, because you have to get her up there.
I guess so.
Yeah,
why?
See what they're doing? I think what they're doing at Tristan's high school is smart. We have to get Tristan to his high school at a certain time.
Yeah.
And then they're all going to take the kids and the buses up to the campus because they can't do graduation unless the kids are there. They can totally skip graduation if the parents aren't there.
Right.
So as long as the kids are there and they're making sure the kids get there.
Wow. That's what we should have done. Why didn't we do that? Now I'm bugged because we have to get her down there and we're not going to park in the nightmare that is the parking. So instead we're going to park on this other part of town, then take the little public transit tracks thing. Yeah, that thing. We'll take that over there, get her there by 7:30, whatever. And then the whole thing goes till like 10 something. Then we get the H out of there and go get lunch because my gosh, I can't get out of that place quick enough. It's going to be insane. Kids everywhere, parents, grandparents. Ugh. It's going to be bad. Anyway, congratulations, class of 2015.
Yay!
May your future be as bright as your headlights because you forgot
to require you to wear shades.
Yeah, exactly. As what's his name? Who sang that to us? Who was that?
Timbuk3 was the band that sang that. Future so bright, I got to wear shades.
Who was the one that sang the other one, though? He sang a song about I wear my sunglasses at night.
That'd be Corey Hart.
Corey Hart.
Mm-hmm. And that was that was a song that he wasn't even going to include on that album. Like, basically, they had the whole album already set. He'd been working with the label. All right, here's my album. And then he's sitting around and he's like smoking a cigarette. And he says, "I smoked my cigarette." Then and it's like, "Oh, that would be a good song. Oh, let's see. Let me change the lyrics a little bit." And he changed the lyrics to "I wear my sunglasses at night," and became his big single, big breakthrough song.
His one hit, really.
Never Surrender. Come on.
Oh, all right.
Never
fine.
Surrender.
I'll give him that.
Yeah,
What's Corey Hart doing now? Is he up to anything?
He got out of music for a while. He wanted to basically be there for his family and not tour and not do any of that. So he got out of music for a while. And then just last year, he recorded a new version of Sunglasses at Night. That's like a much darker, slower version.
Oh, and, weird. He looks very different now.
Yeah.
Wow. Looks like a potato now. All right.
Still wearing the sunglasses at night.
Oh, of course. He's cool. Because he can't see. How's the song go? Because I can't see. Or no. I wear sunglasses at night so I can.
You weave and breathe the storyline.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, Brian, you're a musical memory genius. Amazing.
See the light that shines before my eyes, I think, is another one. I think he gives like four reasons in that song why he wears his
sunglasses. Yeah, but the number one reason, he's stoned. He's been doing pot and he's trying to hide it. We know what's going on.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news brought to you by...
Are you a business, organization, or event that is looking to make an impact without breaking the bank? If so, look no further than the marketing and design professionals at CT Business Solutions. We'll handle everything from custom designing your newest business cards to orchestrating a direct mail campaign to every home in the neighborhood. Stop by tiny.cc/CTBiz, that's CTBIZ, for special deals, discounts, and to see what we can do for you today. That's tiny.cc/CTBiz. Excelsior!
Nice. Do you watch Letterman last night?
Not yet. We have it taped.
Okay.
We watched the 3-hour Survivor finale.
Oh, that's right.
Get a chance to watch Letterman.
That's right, because earlier I was watching I was trying to watch it. Don't ask me how I got my antenna to do what I needed to do, but there were some Jeff Probst business on that I saw part of.
Yeah, they were doing the live reunion thing right before.
Yeah, and somebody asked the winner. I think he was the winner. He goes, "What do you think? What do you think your big winning strategy was?" And he goes, "Well, I just want to thank Jesus. It was Jesus this and Jesus that." And Jeff Probst goes, "Yeah, but what strategy?"
That was the best.
I was laughing. Right. I thought that was really funny. And it was literally like all I heard. I was like that 30-second exchange. Then I checked in later. Letterman came on. Here's what I loved, and then I want to give you some interesting stats.
All right.
First of all, I think I've made no small big deal on the show about how influential Dave was for me growing up. Mm-hmm. Incredibly influential. He was punk music in talk shows. He was a voice that was nothing like Carson's, was nothing like what my grandparents or parents wanted. He was this rebellious suit with sneakers wearing weird ass thing that came on at midnight. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing like it anywhere. And I felt like he was ours and he was speaking for us and he was doing things that, you know, now seems normal. Like Jimmy Kimmel will do something goofy online or, you know, Jimmy Fallon will do something goofy and do some weird internet viral thing. And you just go, yeah, Dave laid the plans for all this.
That's right.
It was Dave he's a freaking genius. Now, some people say he's a grumpy old cuss. I don't care. Dave had such an impact on me to the point that I had all his books, top 10 books, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I wore sneakers to like churchy events where I'm supposed to be wearing nice shoes.
So wear a suit and then sneakers with it?
Yep, totally did. he's all like, for a long time there, I just obsessed. And I stayed up every night in high school and was so tired every day the next day, but I didn't care. I loved Letterman and I just couldn't get enough of it. And I had a couple of friends and all we'd talk about is what happened the night before. I went so far, Brian, as to put a tape recorder next to the computer, to the TV screen. Something we hate in YouTube now, but at the time, it was really only your option.
At the time, that was your cutting edge technology for doing that.
Exactly. Right? So I put a tape recorder right next to the TV. I'd watch it live, but I would also record the audio from the episode, specifically anytime Jack Hanna was on, the zoo guy. Yeah. And then I would go.
The reactions that Dave would have with the animals was priceless.
Plus, that guy was he was better than all the animal people that Carson ever had or anybody else. Because he was a goofball. He was weird. perfect. So I'd listen to that, I'd record it, and then the next day there'd be Scott in math class with his big yellow sports Walkman earphones in, listening to the previous night's Letterman in audio form. That's how into this guy I was. What I loved about last night was he didn't get all sentimental. It wasn't, I'm not going to spoil anything because there's nothing really to spoil. There's no story, weird story.
No, I'm sure it was like, hey, want to thank you, good time. Yeah. And, let's do some of our bits. And
they did a bunch of old video from old stuff from both the original late night show, his old morning show before that, and then certainly the last 20 years at CBS. And they showed they had a bunch of special guests. I won't give away who those were. Epic musical guest, all this kind of stuff. But
tell me they had Crispin Glover on.
No, they did not. But they showed a video of him getting kicked.
Probably him kicking David Letterman in the head. Classic.
Pretty close. He still won't have him back, I guess. But they made a show that was basically one of his shows again. Like, they didn't get all bogged down in a bunch of weepy stuff. It was really funny. And he was on tap. And everybody there was great. And, you know, it didn't feel sentimental. It felt like this celebration of this thing we're not going to have anymore. And I hope you paid attention at least some of the last 33 years, because it was rad. And then off the air, and that's it.
Wow.
It was great, dude. You're going to love it, I think.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. I'm bummed I missed so much of the last week. But I guess, I mean, a lot of that's on Hulu, and I can, check it out there.
YouTube,
really want to see the
whatever.
Bill Murray bit from a couple nights ago.
Oh, yeah. Night before last was Bill Murray and the cake and all that stuff. You need to see, if you haven't seen it, you need to watch the episode, which was, I think, a day before that or so, with Norm Macdonald. Came out and did a set.
Oh, really? Okay.
One of Dave's best guests. He's always really funny over the years. And you've never seen Norm quite like this. He came out, did an incredibly well-made set, like Norm does. Totally Norm Macdonald all the way through. I love that guy. And then he finishes and just falls apart, just loses it.
Aww.
He can't deal with it. Like, yeah. And I've been watching people all week do that. Jimmy Kimmel.
Kimmel. Yeah, I watched the Kimmel bit where he's like saying what an inspiration he was, and he's choking up through the whole thing.
Yeah, he couldn't stop doing that. And clearly, you know, everybody. Conan had a big story to tell and got all emotional. I haven't heard anything from Fallon, but I'm sure he had something to say. But they're all like, don't watch our show. Click over and watch Dave tonight. Because you need to see the reason we all exist. That's really incredible stuff. I loved it. And here's some fun stats for you. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, in 96, do you remember the bit where he went to a Taco Bell and worked the drive-up?
Yes, and people would pull up and he'd hand them there.
They played that, and it was so funny to see that again.
Oh, I love that bit.
It was
really,
really good.
See that.
Where he made the lady pay for a burrito that he was going to eat. Oh, it was amazing. Anyway, right. So people should watch it if you didn't record it. I'm sure most of this is on YouTube by now, but anyway. 22 years on his current show, more than that if you count everything else.
Wow.
Here's how many shows he has hosted on The Late Show.
And this is between, just Late Show?
Well,
or this
let's
is,
see.
It's got to be morning.
22 years, it says. Right? It says 22 years, and that would have been just Late Show.
Okay.
So I'm not sure about this, so the numbers could be screwy. 6,028 episodes.
Wow.
That's a lot. 19,932 total guests. That's individual guests, not repeating guests. That's individuals.
Oh, really? Like individual? Yep. So Bill Murray only counts as one of those.
Exactly, even though he came on a lot. Yeah. I can't remember who his biggest guest was. There was somebody, was it Steve Martin maybe? I forget. Huh. Somebody's real regular on there. 4,605 top 10 lists. So there are more top 10 lists than there are episodes of the show. That's crazy.
What? No. There's...
That's what it said. Oh, you're right. 6,000, 4,000. No, you're right. There's way less. Yeah. I apologize.
I'm looking at these numbers, and that other number looks smaller.
Yeah, I got it backwards. 112 Emmy nominations.
Sure.
16 awards in the Emmys. It's pretty good. Wow. 126 stupid pet tricks. 89 stupid human tricks. More pets than human.
Mm-hmm.
They noted that Regis Philbin, he's the man, takes the cake as the most frequent guest on the show. Jack Hanna, who was second place.
Okay.
He was fantastic. And his last episode, which was, I think, a week ago, also that guy's balling. Everybody around Dave's balling their eyes out, except Dave. Because Dave hates that shit.
Was Philbin the one that brought his own desk, like brought his little fold-up desk when he was a guest once? Or was that something else? Or was that Letterman on The Tonight Show?
It might be. I'm trying to remember now. There's a great spot that Conan showed where Letterman came on his show and pretty much pulled it out of the crap. Because I don't know if you remember this, but Conan was not doing well. It was like 4 months of terrible ratings, awful reviews. Everyone hated it. And Letterman came on voluntarily. Nobody worked it out. It wasn't PR people. He called and said, hey, I want to come back on. Just be a guest. And they were like, oh, yeah, of course. He came on and completely turned it around. The very next day, everything changed. And nobody's sure why. They think that he left like a stain of magic or something on that chair.
Oh, it was Carson. It was Johnny Carson when he appeared on David Letterman in 1986.
Oh, and they had two desks there.
Yeah, he just brought his own desk. He says, that's right. I remember him saying, I just can't talk. I can't talk to you unless I've got a desk in front of me.
And that was cool because that was like post the switchover. You know, yeah. Leno had gotten the Tonight Show, and that was kind of Johnny's way of saying, you know, we're still cool, basically. Mm-hmm. One of his great jokes is stand-ups, and this doesn't give much away, but it was during his monologue last night. He says, I'm about to retire. You guys, this is our last show. I really don't think I'm getting that Tonight Show job now. I don't think it's going to come through. It was really funny.
Nice.
You need to see it. You'll love it. It was fantastic.
Can't wait. Totally can't wait.
And I miss it already. All right. It's raining spiders in Australia, just to finish things out here.
Oh, that's a good thing. One.
Yeah. Seems like it. Right? Last week, people in the city of Albury in South Wales, Australia, encountered an eerie sight. Silky webs coated the land, teeming with what turned out to be millions of small baby spiders. These spiders parachute down from the sky, process known as ballooning, reports CNET, usually during May and August, outback arachnids. I've done this before. Throw their webs up in the air, moving in large formations through the sky, and then they eventually come down. Brian, I'd leave Australia. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that would be enough to that would at least like make me leave the city of Albury.
Yeah. I'd say, guys, I like the cut of your jib here. You guys are all very nice, but I'm out.
Yeah, which way does the wind blow in Sydney? Yeah. Great, that's where I'm moving.
Yeah, we're not doing this anymore.
Jeez.
Thanks. Drop the mic and leave the stage.
Oh, I'm bummed we're not. You sure we don't have time to do this next story?
It's a really short song. We'll do one more.
All right.
Airplane dumped poop on a girl's birthday party.
I like the best part of that. Family claims.
Yeah, family claims. They're claiming it. Levittown, Pennsylvania family says their daughter's sweet 16 birthday party. It's always someone's 16th, mm-hmm. 16th, isn't it? And it's always a daughter.
Yeah, I guess that's a 15th as a quinceria.
Yeah. By the way, somebody sent me an email today. Its subject line was lick a dick. It wasn't very nice.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, it wasn't very nice.
Hey, it's Mike. Never mind.
Well, then he wanted me to have like a serious discussion about what he was angry about. I'm like, I can't with your subject line. I can't do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, this was like this was an angry
individual. It was an angry subject line. Very angry individual. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Very upset because I had made some crack about who was the Speaker of the House for Clinton? I forgot his name.
Newt Gingrich.
I'd made some comment somewhere about Newt Gingrich being kind of a goofball. A comment I make a lot about a lot of politicians on all sides of the aisle, I might add.
Sure.
But he had very specific problems with me doing that. So he decided to approach it by telling me to lick a...
That's a great opening line.
Yeah.
You bump into somebody at a party, that's the way to approach them and say, oh, by the way.
Yeah, Brian, it's really hard not to take them seriously at that point. You know, like they clearly are the most articulate and forward thinking of mammals. anyway, this thing dumped it on him out of nowhere. From the sky comes a bunch of feces, lands hard on the canopy. This is what the dad told this TV station. We just gotten done with the cake. Thank God, says Cambry's sister, Christy Rogi. Because within 2 minutes, something fell from the sky. It was brown. It was everywhere. It got into everything. It was gross. Why do you even have to add that? We know it was gross.
Mm. So which is worse?
Yeah.
Raining spiders in Australia or raining poop at this girl's birthday party?
Well, the poop seems isolated. In
Philadelphia?
This will be over with, right? It'll happen. It'll be gross. We'll all talk about it for years, but you're not going to have it happen ever again. It's lightning never striking twice. The spider thing is an annual event.
And the annual ballooning of the spiders. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess you get that. That is the benefit.
I do one poo party versus a lifetime.
Get out
spiders.
The hose and you're done with it, as opposed to great, now there's a million spiders all over the damn place.
The FAA, or the FAA rather, Federal Aviation What's the last day?
Administration.
Administration. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Federation for some reason.
The FAF.
Told
Federal Aviation Federation.
It's not much better than the
numeration.
They told the TV station they are investigating the incident. Probably a plane unloaded too soon or something. So there you have it. It couldn't wait.
Too soon.
I can't hold it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be time with Dan talking about this week's tabletop fun goodness, things you can do with you and your family and your friends. Also, we're going to answer your Twitter questions. So come on back now. You here? You have music for us while we wait?
I do. How about this one going out to Dice Tomato? Says, such a fun song, and I know there are good covers of this out there. Could you track one down at your discretion? Throw the Dobro. And the song he's talking about is called Way Out There. Now, just by the name of it, you probably wouldn't recognize it. But when you hear this thing, you'll say, oh, I absolutely know this song as the theme to Raising Arizona.
Oh.
It's the yodely song that you hear at the beginning. Now, the version that you hear on Raising Arizona is by Carter Burwell, did a cover of it, did all the music for the album and the soundtrack. The version you're going to hear is, I don't know if it's an original, I mean, I don't know if it's the original, but it's certainly earlier than the Carter Burwell version. It's performed by the Sons of the Pioneers, and you'll find it on a collection called Cool Water and 17 Timeless Western Favorites.
Oh, very nice. Here it
Sons
is.
Sons of the Pioneers.
It's called Way Out There. We'll see you guys way on the other side of this few minutes. So come on back.
A lonely spot I know where no man will go, where the shadows have all the room. I was riding free on the old SP, humming the southern tune. When the man came along, made me hush my song, kicked me off the way out there. Was passing by, I caught her on the fly. I climbed in an open door. Then I turned around to the desert ground, saw the spot I will see no more. As I was riding away, I heard the pale moon say, farewell, pal, it sure gets lonesome here.
That was just lovely.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I love that. That's really great.
See, that kind of country I really, really like. That kind of country music. I don't know what it is about it, but it's just so happy and tumbleweedy and, yeah. You know, it's
very
it
specific kind of, I don't know. It's almost like it's not even country. It almost needs its own name.
Right.
But I agree. It's good. And it's also so quirky. Like you could use it. Mm-hmm. Anybody could come along. Wes Anderson could stick that in any movie.
Easily.
And there it is. You know, it would fit. All right. Well, what are we doing
nice,
now?
Nice, huh? We're doing tabletop time.
All right. Fine. Let's get him in here. I got to find his music, which I will. And I got to add him to the call, which I should. And I should have already done, but I'm doing it now. His name is Dan. He played Heroes of the Storm with me the other day, and it was lovely.
Oh, that's cool. He's a Heroes player, too.
Yeah. Look at everybody nice. Playing that game like a bunch of freak shows.
No.
Oh, look at this, everybody. It's Dan, the tabletop gaming man, and he's on the line now. Hi, Dan.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, man. Doing all right. Fun times in Heroes apology. The other day, right? Wasn't that fun? We had a good time.
Oh, dude, that was awesome, man. Yeah. That was a ton of fun.
Anyway, sorry.
Even getting our butts kicked the one time was still fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's the trick. That game will make you think you're awesome because you'll get into a game and just cream some team, or it'll be hard fought, but you'll win in the end. You'll think, yeah, look at us. We could be pros. And then the very next game, you'll just get your butt handed to him on a plate. It's really frustrating. But anyway.
Some matches just aren't set up for Abathur. So I got to get more into the other one when I play with you.
This
you
is a good,
get into like
a good
Uther
point.
Or something.
Yeah, that Abathur stuff, I don't know. It's all a mystery to me. You're like, what do you like? You're like the you're in a mystery and an enigma on a plate full of chicken and fries.
Wrapped up with secret sauce.
Yeah, I don't understand how it happens.
The biggest problem is the verbiage that you have to use all over the place it's all sorts of innuendo going on with that.
Yeah, everything you say about Abathur and what he's doing to other players, because you're just sort of like this augment machine, sounds like a dirty, like some
really?
Kind of dirty thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I told Scott I was coming on top of him about 5 times.
Yeah. We're like, hey, I'm going to go down and capture the South Tower. Okay, I'm coming on you.
Oh, geez.
Like but it works in the context of the game, but it doesn't work. When you're saying it out loud on a stream and people are laughing at you.
My wife had to poke her head around a corner going, what in the hell is going on in there?
Very porny. Anyway.
But I wanted to apologize for that lick the dick mail. I just heard you weren't having a show Monday and it pissed me off. So
I should have recognized the handwriting. I guess we don't handwrite our emails.
And I thought your Newt comment was more pro-Newt than anything else.
Yeah. Well, and I wrote that guy. I thought it was too. And I wrote that guy back. And just said, I don't know how to talk to you when you open like that. Like, if you really want to discuss this, we can talk about it. And clearly, you've got a bias one direction. I may have one the other, but, you know, we can totally discuss it. But I think he was coming in hot and didn't care, which is the way it goes. Dan, yeah. Tell us about. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, can we burn Australia too?
Yeah, always, ever.
I'm itching all over my body after that story.
Oh, no kidding, right?
It's the worst thing ever. Whenever you see like an ant on TV or something, it's like just start going and itching and everything.
I'm only itching one very specific place, and it's killing me.
You had to bring up itching.
Oh.
You know what he did? He used lidocaine at first, which is kind of deadens it, right? Mm-hmm. You know this stuff. They go in there with like a knife, cut out a big chunk of skin. Kim watched the whole thing, threw it in tube, did his whole thing, wrapped it up, and I thought, well, it doesn't hurt or itch at all right now. Well, that's because there was lidocaine in it. Now, that's all worn off, and it feels like the hunk of burning love. I just want to go. I just want to fork it.
Did he put anything? You got a little wrap over it or anything?
No, just a Band-Aid. You know, it's a tiny incision. It's like a single stitch. He did a little suture stitch,
right,
to hold it together. But it's really nothing big.
I just ice it a little bit.
Yeah.
That'll help a bit.
Ice. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. Always follow Dan's advice.
Or you use some like a counter irritant, you know, because your body can only feel a certain amount of sensations at one time.
Mm.
So like that's why capsaicin is a really good cream for different itches and burns and stuff like that. Because you'll put it on a different area and you'll feel that little bit of burn rather than the pain, because your body can't feel more than a certain amount of sensation at one time.
What the hell's capsaicin?
Capsaicin is the same thing that makes peppers spicy.
Yep, exactly.
Oh.
So you put that on your skin. Like,
really?
It's a cream that you put on. You don't put it directly. I mean, that probably would work.
Okay, capsaicin cream?
Yeah, capsaicin pea is like a cream. and capsicum, I think there's another. There's all those counter irritants. They work real. It's weird how that stuff sort of works.
I need to get me some of that because I'm dying over here. It's just not working out. Anyway.
So now we're on to games.
Let's talk about board games. What's going on?
So the other day, on the instance, you were kind of talking about Hearthstone and about card games and stuff like that. I wanted to mention to you, to the listeners, because I know there's probably a lot of people that don't have a lot of history in like Magic the Gathering and things like that, but just love Hearthstone to death.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Since the WoW trading card game, which was made by Cryptozoic, it's kind of out of print. They kind of stopped it. I think it was originally by Upper Deck, and then it was taken over by Cryptozoic, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that is correct. Yep.
You can actually find these on Amazon. You can find boxes of like the booster packs and stuff for like $40. And you could get lucky and get an in-game code.
Right. Mm-hmm. And those things all still work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And not only do they work, they still go for like $50 to $100. So you could get lucky and pay for what you just bought.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you could. I mean, you can also look on eBay. People are probably selling their collection because it's not really very well played. However, if you're somebody who really digs Hearthstone and just want to play offline or just kind of do something at home, I mean, this would be something for both of you guys since you got kids that would up. There you go. It's a ton of. I mean, you'd be surprised how similar it is to Hearthstone. I mean, the mana system's a little different, but it's very, very close.
Mm-hmm. That was one thing people were. Some people are surprised about, because the game, it seemed like, okay, well, they're dumping this, they must be doing something else. And then everyone heard, oh, they're doing this Hearthstone thing, that's what they're doing. And they're throwing all their weight behind it, which is all true. But a lot of people don't realize that a lot of those same systems, and certainly artwork, creature types, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of stuff, definitely stemmed from that game. Even the hero system is somewhat similar in some ways.
Yeah, it was just, great. I'm sorry, held up an
unscratched white camel mount from the game. So
you did just people
start making some offers right now.
Wait, you just found one?
No, I have one at my desk.
Oh,
I pulled a Tom Merritt and and had something at my desk though that is what we talked about.
I have stacks boxes. Of those somewhere. So do I. Yeah. Boxes and boxes.
Oh yeah, and they're worth a ton. Some of those things.
Yeah.
Like I said, see what separates it from like Magic the Gathering, and I don't know if you guys have played Magic in the past. One of the big things that annoys the crap out of people when they play is getting mana screwed or mana flooded, because you have to use mana as the resource. But what was pretty monumental in the WoW TCG is any card can be used for mana, and you can basically put any card face down during the game as a mana that you could usually use as resources, you know, that you could use every turn, and they have to you refresh them every round. But what was also cool is they had these quest cards that they would be put down as mana, but if you fulfilled the quest, you'd flip them over and get some sort of reward. Mm-hmm. So the game's just, it's, if you like Hearthstone, check that out, and you could probably get a whole ton. Like I say, when you guys have kids that they're old enough now where they probably dig playing something like that, especially if they love Hearthstone.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw that out there for you guys.
Yeah, we used to we used to give out that stuff, I swear, every week, because Blizzard had so much extras of it, so they sent us boxes of it and say, here's something to give away. And I think Nerdtacular, we gave away a ton of those things back in like 2011, maybe 10. But yeah,
right.
Yeah, why not?
I am loving Hearthstone right now. I've been doing the quest challenges for Blackrock Mountain are fantastic. I mean, it's a whole different game with those quests, because they give you these specific criteria. You've got one round where every card both you and your opponent play are only one mana, and you only get one mana per round. Wow. So you've got to really think about how you play things.
Wow.
These expansions have completely turned the game around for me as far as my favorite part of it.
Wow.
If old man Johnson hadn't got me hooked on Heroes again, I might get back in on Hearthstone these days.
Old man Johnson and his janky old video game.
You should definitely, pick it back up and try those challenges out, because it is, like I said, it is a completely different game for me.
But also keep working on Abathur, whoever you're playing the most, because we need good players.
Yeah, that's Abathur important. And Uther, man. Those are the guys that
Abathur and Uther. Yeah, those two guys.
I'll be in there with Keratonin or whatever his name is.
Keratonin.
What the hell's the guy's name? Kurt?
Zeratul.
Zeratul. Oh,
Zeratul.
I'm putting a K where there's
Keratonin.
Keratonin.
You know, it's a great supplement. It'll help you sleep at night.
It helps me sleep, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Beta carotene.
Right. We'll figure out who wants to draft me into their team on that Frog Pants tournament. I'm going to take you down, Johnson.
Well, we've got some news on that front. People wondering how that's going. It's going quite well. I have somebody who is a genius at these things, working out the brackets and the kind of structure of the tournament. We'll have something very soon up for that, and people can start submitting their teams. We're taking all comers. We're not going to turn anyone away. We're not going to have some kind of minimum skill requirement or any of that. We want this to be really fun, really open.
And, do I need to tell you my eye level?
You need not to do that. Okay. You don't even have to tell me what skin or level your guy is. As long as you feel comfortable playing and you've got five people that all want to do it together, even if you lose horribly, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I don't have any of that.
Okay, good.
I don't have people who want to play with me.
I'll bet you do.
That's why Eric Skyhawk has stopped talking to me, because I played Heroes of the Storm with him.
And he went, ooh, okay,
he's
moving
like,
on.
Oh, this was a bad idea.
Yeah, I realized after we played the other night, I sent out all friend requests to all the other guys that we played with, Johnson, and only one guy was like, nope.
Really?
I don't remember which one. I don't remember who.
Really?
I think it was because somebody wasn't on Skype with us. They probably didn't realize that it was me asking them.
Oh, it was probably Darksting, yeah. He was the guy that wasn't in our group, but yeah, those other guys will welcome you with open arms, John and Gorath over there. Yeah, we're excited, and it's going to be really fun. So watch for more of that.
Well, I got an actual game for
you. Okay, good.
And we'll be quick. So, you guys, Sky, you're kind of like art.
Yeah, love
right?
art.
You're
love
kind
it.
Of an art guy.
Yeah,
you know, he likes that art. Yeah.
I wonder at what point do you think that like games that have really really good art do they really enhance a game that much more than maybe if the game wasn't as good?
Oh, that's interesting. I see. I believe very strongly that art is a huge part of what makes a game good for me, board game, video game, or otherwise. And the reason that is because no matter what the tech of the time is, let's say it's the 50s and you're making some board game for the whole family, or it's the early 90s and you're making some PC game, if that thing is surrounded by the best artwork it can represent, giving the technology of the time, the entire thing's enhanced for me, and that stuff holds up, especially when it's good art. You know, yeah. Blizzard's great at this. Half the reason I think Hearthstone or most of their games are great is because that is a company chock full of artists who know how to, you know, evoke whatever the visuals need to evoke. So I think that's a huge part of it. No matter what game you're playing, no matter what format you're playing it on, if it's a tabletop thing, if it's paper, if it's on an iPad or computer, to me it's all the same. You want the best art you can get.
Well, the absolute best art that I've seen in probably the last two or three years is a game called Abyss by Asmodee. Mm. Now, I shared a little review that was in there by the Nonsensical Gamers, and it's got a bunch of the cards in there.
It's gorgeous.
The art is you probably couldn't even believe how good that art is. And all the cards have individual art. I don't think there's any duplicates in the whole game. And it's a fun little, it's very light. It's not quite as intimidating as the art might make it seem, but it's kind of like a set collection game. Got a little bit of social aspect. It even has these little pearls that are in the game that actually come with the game. I mean, just the whole presentation is fantastic.
Oh, wow.
And what's cool is that they have five different covers that the game came with, which is kind of a little weird for board games. I'll show you that. This is the one that I don't know if you can see this a bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's unbelievable.
World of Warcraft-esque.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I don't remember which faction, if it was like the crab faction, because it's based obviously on a deep sea vibe to it. The theme to it is deep sea. And you're collecting different cards through different factions, whether you got the crab faction, shellfish, seahorses, jellyfish, and squid factions. It is probably real names for them, but that's basically what the picture is on the card. So you're using these cards that you're kind of drafting, and then you're getting these leaders into your tableau. Then you're using those leaders either to get different special abilities, some victory points, and also you can get these territories, which also give you different victory points. But very light, very quick playing game. But just looking at that art will just keep you in awe the whole time.
That's gorgeous. Yeah, I'm super impressed. Do any of these cards feature Ed Harris breathing in a helmet full of water goo? No.
Well, I think the one guy in that review almost looks like he's got the breathing, you know, some sort of thing on top.
Okay.
The one that's standing up, the Oracle there.
Okay.
It looks like he's breathing
Don't
in something.
Don't die on me, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
That's
Don't
right.
Don't die on me.
I'm going to give you chest compressions with your boobies out. Let's go.
You've never given up on anything in your life.
What's weird is that, very rare that you find these games that the art might be better than the game itself, but not by much. I mean, the game is actually pretty good, but I think the art really lifts it up to a game that is a must-buy. It's only about 30, you can find one of them for $35. Don't worry about collecting the, people were worried that gamers were going to start trying to collect this stuff like comic books or something, but it's not going to happen.
And you don't just have to worry about booster packs or anything. Like, everything you need is in the box. You don't need see, that's the other thing that scares me about Magic
the Gathering. I might impulse buy this game right now because I'm so blown away by this art. And also, if you're telling me it's like a fun, quick play, I'm all
30
about
to 60 minutes max, and your family would love it because it's that easy to pick up. Like I said, don't let them just look at the art and go, oh, I can't figure this out. Just the rules are real easy. They're only 10 pages, and they're huge types. Typeset.
You can't even choose which box you get, though, right? Like,
Amazon says cover art may vary.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'm going to get it.
It's 2 to 4 players. Really, really good. And they've got an expansion coming out pretty soon, but it'd be easy enough for you to just get the base game.
All Enjoy right. It. I'm a sucker. I'm going to get this thing. Very nice. I love this recommendation. I also like the pull out your old WoW cards recommendation. I feel like it's a good round episode of hanging out with Dan.
Well, it'll have to last you a while because next week I have to my daughter's got a chorus thing, and then I'll be in Origins in 2 weeks.
Oh, goodness. You'll have...
I may figure out a way to call you from Origins, but we'll figure that out later.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Talk about what's happening on the street.
Man on the street.
Yeah. Dan totally, Patrice. Yeah. Awesome, dude. Well, I hope you have a great time. Anything you'd like to recommend or pimp before you go that people can
find
strange, more for you?
Strange that you should mention that. Mm-hmm. This Monday that just passed, I just released episode 100, which I have these two great guys named Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett on the show that I interviewed. It's been really received very well. It's a So Do You Want a Podcast episode of the Geek All-Stars where we talk about things you may want to do to get a podcast started yourself. Because if you haven't heard, Brian, podcasting's back.
It's totally back, dude. Yeah. It's so back right now.
And in pog form.
So yeah, check out thegeekallstars.com. Check us out on iTunes. We just put episode 100 up there. And another special thanks to you two wonderful gentlemen for helping me out on the show.
Well, we do what we can. Dan, Patrice, everybody, a true pro, a gentleman among men. We'll talk to you later. Bye now. And he helps me deal with my stupid scratchy arm. Because people don't know this, but he's a pharmacist. That's his day job.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So every once in a while, we like
just take a habanero, mm-hmm. cut it in half, and rub that on your arm, and I'm sure it's going to be fine.
You know, I heard that works. I heard that today. I put it up my butt. That was a mistake. All right, Brian, we're gonna
clear it up.
We're gonna take it down a notch. Not really. We're just gonna answer some questions.
It over a notch.
Yeah, over a notch. Yeah, lateral. It's a lateral move.
That's right.
You guys send us questions at AskTMS. It's a hashtag, let's call it. And you've asked us questions, and we're going to answer them now. I don't know why Twitter changed their interface. There we go. Baloney Ninja asks this question. How awesome was that Mad Max movie?
He's so plain. Like, he's just needling you.
Yeah,
he's just poking you.
He's goading
me. Talk about Mad Max some more. You know what? There's apparently the latest edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour, the NPR show.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they talk about Mad Max. So this week I'm going to fire that up when I've got some time and listen to it.
Very cool. I sometimes kind of like that show. And then sometimes I find them very NPR pretentious sounding, and I don't like it as much. I don't know.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, they've all got their Starbucks glasses and their
it comes through. It's a little Portlandia for me.
Their ironic tartan lumberjack shirts.
Yeah.
And their scruff. Yeah.
And have you ever had to work with or deal with an actual Portland hipster?
Like, I don't know if I've ever had to.
I have recently, and I can't say the names because people recognize them, but
They really fit the? They fit the mold?
Yeah, and it's hard because I'm not into that whole. It's just very self-absorbed, that whole vibe. Yeah, it's. I'm not saying everyone's like that. Obviously, my great aunt and uncle lived there, and I loved them, and they were wonderful. But there's just a certain. I don't know if you're really into the mismatched clothes and donuts. I guess you're part of the problem. Brian, I loved Mad Max, and I've thought about it pretty much constantly since it came out. And I've gone so far as to have purchased the soundtrack for the film.
Oh, wow.
And
how is it?
I'm going to play you a taste here and tell me if this doesn't bring things back for you a little bit. Here you go. Now, the best part of this is coming up. The part I like the most, which is right here. Hold on. Almost. The track is called Storm Is Coming, by the way.
Well, is there any music on there with the Doof Wagon?
I don't know. Now that you mention it. All right. Here we go. Okay, so the storm's coming. They go inside. I'm really into those strings going. So
that sounds like it's something that I could listen to probably not while I'm working. but that, you know, like driving or,
I'd recommend it for, cleaning the house. It's really good for like rushing around, moving stuff, cleaning things. That's that works really well for me. So I've been playing.
I want to see somebody actually cosplay as the Doof Warrior.
Dude, the Doof Warrior. So good. All right. Ron Korb asks, as you get older, will either of you entertain plastic surgery, Botox, veneers, etc.? No. I don't care.
I can't see me doing it either.
I don't think I have a reason. I don't care enough.
Maybe I'm gonna rock a sweet toupee when I turn 60.
Yeah, dude. Have it be
a blonde afro toupee like Albert Brooks wore in some movie where he wore sunglasses and a yellow blonde afro toupee.
Let me tell you what percentage of my support I will throw behind that idea. 100%.
It's going to be the one that Gene Hackman wore in Superman 1.
Yeah, there you have it. I would consider veneers if I end up doing a lot more video stuff because your teeth get horrible as you get older. But I'm not into any of that stuff. And I begrudge no one for doing it. It's fine. It's totally fine. I just don't want to do it. Plus, that stuff gets real weird as you get, like, really older. So you're like, oh, yeah, I'm 51. Let's get my chin done or whatever. fine. But when you're 75, your chin starts to look like an alien knob, right? It's not right. good. So don't do that.
No.
Dr. Ian Malcolm wrote in.
Ooh, Dr. Ian Malcolm. Why? Oh, he's the chaos theory guy.
You are correct about that.
Yes.
He's all talking right. about...
Is this question going to be, watch this drop of water. Which way is it going to go?
What's the laugh part? He does that in Jurassic Park, right? Where he goes...
Really?
Yeah. Hold on.
I just remember him talking about the amber. He says, step one is you find some amber with a bug in it. Step two, you pull the DNA out of the bug. There's no step three.
Here it is. You ready? Here's the laugh. I found it.
Okay.
10 minutes. Oh. Remember that?
Why? How could I forget that? Oh, my God.
He's in the helicopter or something with everybody, and he's sitting next to the lawyer who gets bitten off the toilet soon.
Yeah.
And just keeps doing it. Here we go again.
I'll pay money to see Chris Pratt do that in the sequel.
I'm all in for that. All right. Next up, Kyle Thomas. Scott, does Carter ever give you really strange looks when you say weird things or yell during TMS PM? Yes, but she has her... Oh, she heard me. Hi. She has her headphones on. She's over there working on something. What are you working on? Animation or just drawing? Oh, she's waiting for me on something. That's why she can't work on that. But anyway, yes, I'll say certain things and she'll go, Dad, or something. That'll happen. But not in the morning. She's at school studying like all good children should be. Next up. Here's one for Brian. Christina Courtney wrote in, says, what is the name and gender of Brian Ibbett's cat? We've never talked about name or gender.
Oh, we could have sworn I've talking about name and gender.
You probably did.
She's a girly cat, and her name is Inara, named both after the character from Firefly, the companion from Firefly, and Inara George, who is the bird half of the Bird and the Bee.
The bird half.
Kristen. Mm-hmm. The bird half. I just presume that the Bird and the Bee is, you know, she's the bird and he's the bee.
Yeah. They make him sound like the cat dog cartoon where there's like half bee, half bird.
She's the bird half.
Yeah.
Right.
No, now that you've mentioned the name and the gender, you've totally brought it up here before. Yep. But
that's all right. I'll happily bring it up again. By the way, Scott, I don't know if we've mentioned this, but no show on Monday for Memorial Day.
Hold on a second. Let me check my schedule. Yep. It says right here, holiday, no show Monday.
Yep. There we go.
Confirmed. Thanks. I love this. I love that you're telling it. Like memento style. That's what I like.
I have it tattooed in reverse on my chest so that whenever I look in the mirror, I know that Joey Pants beat my wife. And
we're going to get to the bottom of this mystery one way or the other.
That's right.
All right. Here's another one.
Trinity is not to be trusted.
Linky McScott says, Blizzard goes crazy and adds other non-Blizzard properties to the Heroes of the Storm game. What characters from what games and why?
Ooh.
He says, or sing the BK song. No, we'll tell you the games.
When my belly starts to rumbling
and I've had too much to eat.
Well, there you go. Darius Rucker would be my first choice. Got to add Hootie to Heroes of the Storm.
That's a great idea.
He'd be able to, at whim, his legendary power, the big power, the R power, would be to summon the breasts that grow on trees. And a bunch of nice ladies with a big caboose or something like that. Whatever the line is.
Yeah, and the ladies would run out and stun everybody. It would be like an area stun. Oh, that's brilliant. If you're talking other games, that's boring to me. If you want characters from other stuff, the Darius Rucker line's the way I'd go. Like, in fact, let's just go fast food. Let's get the Colonel out there.
Get the new Hamburglar.
Yeah, the new Hamburglar. The Colonel.
You can creep everybody out.
Yep. Ronald McDonald.
Right.
The BK, the king with the weird creepy face.
Oh, yeah. He just creepily stare at you. Yep.
Oh, yeah, dude. That. I'm all in for this.
Yeah.
Let me think about that for a while. But yeah, Big Boy would be out there with a big burger flopping around. Yeah, that's where I'd go. Because they're never going to do this, but that'd be fun. They could do that sort of thing. All right. Luke wrote in, says, what moment from doing TMS will you never forget? Moment. There's been a lot of moments.
Yeah. I mean, I got to set my headphones down. I'm going to go throw up. Yep. Be right back.
That one's hard to forget. No question about that.
Hard to top that one, right?
Yeah. I think for me, that's probably it, actually.
Oh, come on. No, there has to be.
I'm trying to think. So many things. Maybe it was Yeah, I can't think of anything. Chat room, you guys kick in on this one because you see the moments and you remember more than we do. We're so busy making it, we forget.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most memorable thing. I mean, there have been things like stories we've told that are pretty funny.
Sure, that you can eat rice and...
Sure. But didn't one time I yell something and then...
There was something where we just couldn't... We couldn't talk for a few minutes because we were laughing so hard at something.
Yeah, and I don't remember what it was.
Can't remember what that was.
Well, anyway. Chat room, you guys tell us what you think is the best because I have no idea. I barely remember this morning.
Creamy Pete.
Creamy Pete made you laugh really hard.
That was one thing that kept me laughing so hard I couldn't even talk for a few minutes.
Yeah, I've never heard you laugh like that. That was incredible. Okay, how about this one?
Okay.
Have you learned how to say Nicholas Hoult's surname yet? And
it's Holt, isn't it?
Yep, you're correct. I've been saying Nicholas Hoult, and I'm wrong. It's Nicholas Holt because there's an L in there, and it rhymes with Bolt. Thank you, Saint J.W.
And he was great in About a Boy.
Yeah. Wasn't he, though? He was the kid, right?
He was the kid, and he was like, you know, hanging there with Hugh Grant, being a real cad.
Mm-hmm. He's a good beast man, and he's a hell of a war boy, as it turns out.
Beast man, war boy, zombie kid.
Yeah. He was on Skins.
I never saw that.
Dirty little British show, Skins.
Mm-hmm.
He was a real jack and ape on there. Finally, here's a final question for our time here today with us, everybody. If you could transport to any game environment, what would you choose?
Any game environment. I know we've had the, like, any World of Warcraft zone.
Yeah.
So any game environment.
Sounds like I can leave any time. If that's true, then this is an easy thing to answer. If I can't leave any time, that's a problem. But if I can just go visit, I've been playing Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely gorgeous, and I would not mind hanging out there for a while, but I don't want to stay there because there's ghouls and like werewolves and stuff, so I don't want to be there when it gets ugly. But it's a very pretty game, so yeah, I'd do that. Or
get to do the things in game in real life that the guy in game that goes there gets to do?
Oh, totally. So if you went into World of Warcraft, you could cast spells and, you know,
okay,
all that.
So I think I'm forgetting the name of the game. PlayStation exclusive kid with superpowers, lightning, can ride rails by skating on
Infamous.
Them.
Infamous.
Infamous, yeah. Yes. I think the Infamous, the Seattle of Infamous would be fun.
Yeah.
Especially getting to just slide around everywhere.
That's pretty good.
Oh, BioShock is a good one. The
you'd
want Columbia, New Columbia or whatever it's called.
What was it called?
The one in Infinite, BioShock Infinite. Yeah, was it?
Infinite was...
New Columbia? Something like that?
Just Columbia, I think.
Just Columbia?
Damn it. Chat room, help us out. I think it is just Columbia. It's been a while now.
Mist is a really good answer. That's you get so limited stuff though. I mean, you've just got a dock. I mean, okay, yeah, you've got all the books that take you to the other islands, I guess, but
okay, here's this one for you.
All right.
Would you rather be in real life Pac-Man, real life Dig Dug, or real life Joust? So we'll stick with that.
So if I'm in real life Dig Dug, do I dig as fast as Dig Dug digs? Like, I mean, just walking in a direction digs, or do I actually really have to get out a shovel and like...
You do just like him. You have the really great power and that hose and all that stuff. You have everything you need to do what you
have. So is Dig Dug Pac-Man? What was the third one? Joust?
The worst part about Dig Dug is when you make take a step, the music plays. Remember? If you held still? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Did you stop and the music stops?
So it's Joust. It was Joust, that, or Pac-Man.
Wow, Joust would be, Joust with the flying ostriches, but you got that damn pterodactyl.
Yeah.
And the fire and the hand that comes out of the fire.
And the eggs that hatch too soon. That game.
You know what?
Joust.
I think I would choose Joust because the freaking Fygars in Dig Dug and the fact that they can shoot fire through the tunnels.
Yeah.
I would never see that because I'd be looking first person.
Yep.
I'd be just digging along and I don't know where the other holes are.
Yeah.
Joust. Do that.
All right, here's the Dig Dug death sound. Would you like to hear it?
Okay, yeah.
Here we go. No, that's not it.
No, that's blowing something up. The death is...
That's an awful jaunty way to do that. Hold on. Video game, Dig Dug, game normal sound. Okay, let's try this one. Okay, you're walking. You're still walking. In fact, you're really good at this because you usually... No? Oh, guess you stopped.
Starts back up again.
Okay. This should be the death. That's it. They didn't. Ah.
Wow. That's lame. How come no a cappella groups have done that? You've got all the a cappella groups that do the Mario music.
Yeah.
But that would be a great a cappella tune.
The best sound button.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye, YouTube.
Was that Kim Commando?
That was really weird. If you want to send in your own questions all week, you can do it. Ask TMS is the hashtag on Twitter. We'll get to your TMS Twitter questions next Thursday, which even if that is my appointment, is that my appointment day for, or Carter? Carter, when's your graduation? Next Thursday?
Thursday after that.
So it's not this coming Thursday, but the Thursday. So 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today?
Right?
It's June
4th. June 4th is next week.
No, it's 2 weeks from
today. Okay, 2 days from 2 weeks. two weeks from today. we will not talk about that yet, but I have a sneaking feeling about something to do with Monday. There's something this Monday. Like, I know what it is. Show on Monday. Because it's Memorial Day, Brian.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that. So I'm just letting you know.
So no show. Hold on. I'm holding them.
Write it down. Jot that down.
No show Monday.
Yep. No show on Monday.
I'm worried that we waited so late in the show to talk about this that anybody who tuned out early may have missed it.
Make sure you tell your friends to get it on RSS because it's really important. Okay. We're done. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us to make this fourth show, as possible as it can be. And get your free t-shirts and all that stuff. Please do it. You guys have been great so far. We're giving out shirts for the rest of the month. So if you have a few more days to be a winner, tell your friends. Lots of days. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail line. Leave us voicemails. themorningstream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, we're @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. There's a new instance tomorrow. There's a new boop show later tonight. What else? There's an instance in the morning. I already said that. There's Current Geek tomorrow. And
it's me having dinner with all my family in town.
Yeah, you're going to have fun with that. Mm-hmm. Your uncle's finally making his way through the...
He's actually in the living room. I'm looking at him right now.
Oh, is his wiener out? Or is he just...
I hope not. He's talking to Tina.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Not that kind of uncle. All right,
sure
there you go. and the live NVIDIA stream is always Saturday with me at 3 p.m. Pacific to, or I'll just say my time, 4 p.m. Mountain Time to 7 p.m. Mountain Time. So come on back for that. Morning stream, Scott Johnson and Coverville on Twitter. That's going to do it. Brian, you got music to go out on?
I do. How about something going out to Nate, who says, "Hi, Sublime and Beatific. Life is great. This month marks many awesome milestones in my life, including graduating from college, which only took a decade, my wife being in remission from breast cancer for 2 years, and the birth of our second child, even after my wife's chemo-induced menopause. It's been a rough couple of years, but we made it through. I'd like to dedicate this song to all of the awesome people in my life, Casey, Ben, Scarlett, my wife's son and daughter, respectively. I love you guys so much. 3D print a Lego, Nate."
By the way, I need to quit complaining about my stupid rash. People have gone through way harder things. Like hearing stories like this, they just make me feel like a schlub. So grats to you guys for dealing with that and making it through. That's amazing.
Totally is. Yep. All right. So the song that he requested was "Everything is Awesome" from the Lego Movie. I could not find a good cover of that that didn't just sound like a karaoke version of the original, even though I love Tegan and Sarah and Lonely Island guys.
Sure.
So let's keep one word. Let's keep awesome. And let's go to another song originally done by the Dolly Rots. Here it is, covered by Bowling for Soup. The song is "Because I'm Awesome."
Ladies tell you how cool you feel. part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I smell like beef. Ugh.